I've previously discussed how I feel I can offer up an explanation for the single basic force that governs all forces and the single basic building block that creates all other building blocks. In doing so, people have questioned whether or not it's fair to say that all forces can be described in a way that ties to almost a desire to return to equilibrium. Nature is always seeking its lowest energy state. It's seeking its it's seeking its point where it's in equilibrium across dimensions of space and time, energy and mass, potentially heat, maybe even light. But there is a validity to that claim. And the reason I feel I am able to state that the unification of the forces, the reason I am rightfully able to call my theory a theory of everything, because it explains the force that drives all other forces. What we see in the other forces now, U1, SU1, SU2, the basic symmetries that we use to define the standard model. It is a symmetry that gives us electromagnetism, a symmetry that gives us the strong nuclear force, and a symmetry that gives us the weak nuclear force. And it is those areas where there is a non-symmetry occurring that drives how that force works. That force works by trying to restore that equilibrium or that symmetry. And it is the breaking of symmetries, the deviations from equilibrium, that are at play as it drives the basic forces that govern the standard model as we know it. Electromagnetism, the strong and weak nuclear forces, are governed by the offset of something asymmetrical, where nature requires or desires or forces a reality where it's required to be a symmetrical universe across those different fields or those different interactions. So when I previously said that I'm calling this a theory of everything because I can explain the basic force that drives all their forces, and then I said it is equilibrium and nature's attempt to return to equilibrium that drives all forces, when we see the three current forces are in fact driven by those symmetries. And this may be high level for some. Most of my podcasts have really delved in what the basic scientist or the basic physicist understands. I think it's a more advanced level of physics when you start talking about the symmetries and how they interact. It shouldn't be. I mean, for anybody that studied, you know, quantum mechanics, you understand it, I think. And so I'm not sure what I meant by that. But either way, my point is that there are these symmetries of nature, and that is how we define the forces of nature. And therefore, to me, it is obvious that whatever drives gravity and how gravity works will be a desire to return to some form of symmetry, some form of equilibrium. That is the flat Earth's the flat space-time, where space and time is being warped or bent. It is the space-time tugging back at trying to get flat again and unbend itself and unwarp itself that is in turn pulling, the pulling effect that gravity feels. And that is why we have our equivalence principle and how it is the movement through space-time that defines a mass as well as its impact on space-time. There's a correlation because it's the same principle. It is the disruption from equilibrium trying to return to equilibrium that both pulls on things and pulls on space-time itself to return it back through tiny, sub-quantum, strong nuclear force type, maybe electrostatic charges. It would make sense if there was some sort of attractive electrostatic charge at a subquantum realm, similar to the nature of the strong nuclear force at that scale. The offsetting negative or repulsive force is being absorbed in a different way. If we think of how there is waves of electromagnetic radiation with offsetting oscillations between a magnetic field and electric field, gravity at a subquantum realm can have these same sort of oscillations between two states, where one state produces the attractive nature we see at our level, and at a lower level, it is a repulsive state that, you know, causes different interactions to occur, like superposition and tunneling and quantum weirdness, maybe a probabilistic wave function, you know, so potentially there would be that expectation that some of it could be carried through gravity, and the offset of repulsive type things could be causing a subquantum interaction. Now I don't buy it. I mean, that's just a pretty, you know, off the cuff kind of thought. More so, I believe there is both attractive and repulsive interactions at subquantum realm. Chaos at its best, just total random movement of so many more particles than we could ever measure. Far, far greater number than neutrinos interacting both positively and negatively in their repulsive and attractive nature. Spinning eddies of energy, producing tiny little magnetic fields that sometimes bump each other, sometimes attract each other. Get enough of them to attract each other and you can see them pop into virtual existence. If they're stable, they stay. Usually they're not, and they pop back out. But okay, I got off topic a bit. The point I wanted to make is that it is the symmetries of nature that drive the standard models. It is therefore not a far reach to suspect that a return to equilibrium is what's driving them, as well as gravity. And thus, there is that basic force behind all other forces. It is the unbreaking of symmetries, or the attempt to return to symmetry, the return to equilibrium that drives everything. So, that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. Live long and prosper. May the force be with you. 42.